Are you going through a tough time? We all do, and the Proverbs have something to say on the matter.
Solomon in Proverbs has a lot to say for people who are going through tough times, people who are struggling, people for whom life isn't going the way they think it is. Solomon himself, certainly, we know from reading our Bibles that he went through a lot of difficult things in his life, despite being the smartest, richest, most successful person in the world at the time. He still had a lot of trials and went through tough things. And so he has a lot to say that can help us to go, okay, when I'm feeling the pinch, when I am struggling, when I am in pain, what are some things that I need to remember?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
When the doctor says it's cancer, or a loved one passes away, or our boss says we no longer have a position for you, it can be really hard to handle. And maybe something like that has happened to you or a friend of yours recently. It's during those seasons of life that we do well to turn to the Proverbs for perspective and encouragement. That's what we'll do today on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe. We're in a series called Smarter Living, which is based in the Proverbs. Let's hear what Solomon, the wisest man of all time, has to say about tough times.
Well, you know, as we get into another week of looking at the Proverbs, I just wanted to ask you how you're doing. How are you guys doing? Good, 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 good. Isn't that one of the most insincere questions that we ever ask people? How are you doing? And people will almost always lie to you. I mean, a lot of people who are like, fine, aren't fine at all. But the truth is, I really don't want to hear how you're doing. I want to hear fine. So we just condition ourselves to do that. I just saw a friend recently who was just going through horrible things. And you know, I said, so how are you doing? Fine, great. It's like, no, I know you're not great. I mean, when you go to funerals, you see somebody you haven't seen for a while. They just lost their loved one. How are you doing? Great. Really? Well, no, but I know that's what you want to hear, so we'll just do it. You don't want a deep, penetrating question. Years ago, when Billy Graham was here in Orange County doing his crusade in Anaheim, I had a chance to go over with a few other pastors to meet him over at Orange County Airport and hang out with him for like an hour. And one of the pastors at the time, he was like in his 20s, Greg Denham. He was so excited to meet Billy Graham. But you know how when you meet a famous person, you're just like kind of weird and embarrassed and you don't know what to say? Well, Greg, he says to Billy, so Billy, how are you doing? And Billy goes, well, I just, Don Mumma, who is a pastor in LA, but who had played football at USC and he's a huge guy. He goes, Don Mumma just hugged me and broke three of my ribs. So I'm actually in a lot of pain. And Greg couldn't leave well enough alone. He goes, but Billy, how are you doing? Like, what do you think Billy's going to pour his soul out to some punk kid wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you know? And he goes, I hurt. My ribs, I have three broken ribs. That's how I'm doing. But a lot of times, we kind of don't want to tell somebody how we're really doing because we know they don't really want to hear anyway. The truth is, at a given time with this many people, some of us aren't doing so well right now. For some of us, life is great. Maybe you just had the most amazing week of your life. But there are other people who are in here who, this was a difficult week. There were things that happened that just caused you to feel like, oh, I'm surviving. I'm trying to do the best that I can. You know, and usually it's circumstances that determine how we are really doing. When all the circumstances are going your way and everything seems fine, everything is crystal clear. Man, when you have a good week, really, you see things so clearly. But when you're going through a hard time, when you find yourself in pain, quite often, those circumstances, maybe it's physical, you know, pain, maybe it's relational pain, maybe it's other ways in which financially you don't know how you're going to continue to provide for yourselves. All of a sudden, when we lose that sense of being okay, we also lose our clarity, and it becomes difficult to see our way forward because it just feels like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm running out of options. Well, Solomon in Proverbs has a lot to say for people who are going through tough times, people who are struggling, people for whom life isn't going the way they think it is. Solomon himself, certainly, we know from reading our Bibles that he went through a lot of difficult things in his life, despite being the smartest, richest, most successful person in the world at the time. He still had a lot of trials and went through tough things. And so he has a lot to say that can help us to go, okay, when I'm feeling the pinch, when I am struggling, when I am in pain, what are some things that I need to remember? A lot of helpful stuff, giving us clarity when we're facing uncertainty. Turn in your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 24, and we will look at the first one. Proverbs 24 and verse 10, Solomon says this: if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Adversity, adverse circumstances, adverse relationships. Adversity just means things are going against you. Things are going in a different way than what you would have planned. And he says, sometimes you feel like fainting during a time of adversity. Well, your strength is small if that's the case. Now, in the English, you miss some of the beauty and some of the logic of this statement that he makes, because the word that's translated, the Hebrew word for adversity, is a word that means being in a tight place. It's like the walls are closing in on you. Your options are shutting down. You're finding yourself in a more and more of a narrow, pinched way. It's like when you're running out of money, or you're running out of friends, or you're running out of options, and you're running out of places where you can apply for work. And you just feel like claustrophobic almost, because the walls are closing in on you. There's a Greek word that is usually translated tribulation that means the same thing. You're being pinched. But what's interesting, and it's a play on words here in this verse, where it says your strength is small, the word there for small is the root of that same word, to be pinched in close. So what Solomon's saying here is sort of obvious in a way. He's saying, look, when life is pinching you in, then you will also find that your strength is being pinched in. Don't be surprised when your level of strength is equivalent to some of the things that you are going through in your life. Maybe you feel this way, and you should feel this way. Maybe you ought to feel faint at certain times. And so when we feel ourselves being so weak, it helps to just know that's okay, that's normal. There are some of the things that you go through that's what it will do to you, and it's all right to be weak. Yesterday, my wife Ann had bought these big bricks to build planters in the front and backyard, and she used some of them, but long story short, there were like 20 of these bricks left over. And so I came home after I had gone to a funeral yesterday, and she was going to load these bricks into the back of her Prius and take them back to Home Depot to get like 50 cents a piece for them or something, you know. But I said, look, you know, don't load all those in your car. It's a lot of weight, it's a lot of stuff, and I said, I'll go get the truck from the church, and we'll load them in there, and I'll take them back. So actually, she said, I'll go get the truck. So she got the truck, so I loaded all the bricks in the truck, and it was a lot of weight. And I go down to Home Depot, and I thought, this will be pretty easy. I mean, loading them off is easier because you're setting them down. And I got one of those big carts, and I stacked all the bricks on there. And man, by the time I loaded the bricks and unloaded the bricks, I was exhausted. Then I realized that the parking lot at Home Depot is like a 45-degree angle heading uphill. And I have this cart, and I'm like, man, I could And I just had to push as hard as I could to get it up into the store. And then I'm sweating, and I'm you know, trying to explain to these people. And she gave me the receipt for it, but it was kind of a, you know, the receipt wasn't for all of them. It was just for some of them. And I'm like, look, just, I don't even care. Just keep the bricks. And they said, well, we'll give you a store credit. I go, great, fine, do that. And I was like, I felt like I was going to pass out. I was like, oh, you know. And so I came back, brought the truck back, got her car, and came home. And I was like done. I felt like I was done for the day, but we still had other stuff that needed to be done. And I thought, in case anybody comes to church today, I should probably have my sermon sort of ready. But I was reading this verse yesterday, and I'm thinking, man, that's the way I felt. I felt like I was going to faint from the adversity, because it was like, well, that tells me something about my strength. Now, two things become really obvious when you bring yourself to the point of exhaustion. One of them is it lets you know where you have a weakness. And I realized I haven't been working my legs quite like I could. You know, when you begin to break down, it shows you where you need to train, where you need to strengthen yourself, and that's a good thing too. So it's like, okay, if you're bringing yourself to fainting, there's some part of you that needs to develop. But at the same time, to realize that just because I'm weak in a certain area doesn't mean that's the end of it. The great thing about God is that when our strength is depleted, we can come to Him, and He can end up working in us in the areas where we can't do it. You're probably familiar with Isaiah 40:31, where Isaiah talks about a person who's been really depleted and really weak. And he says, but they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So when we get in a situation that makes us feel exhausted, sometimes all we can do is wait on the Lord, and He promises that He will be there for us. The Apostle Paul over in 2 Corinthians 12 talked about when he had a thorn in the flesh, which he doesn't say what it is. We assume that it was some physical ailment that he had, but no one knows for sure what it is. But he said he asked God three times to deliver him, and then he said, God said to me, in this case, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is perfected in your weakness. So for all of us, when we come to terms with the fact that, whoa, I'm getting to the end of my capacities, and when we feel ourselves weakened, we not only acknowledge that this is normal, that this shows me an area where I need to strengthen, but also it gives me a chance to rely on Him, and there may be things He does in me when I'm in this depleted condition that actually He wouldn't have done with just my strength. He needs to see me be weakened so that He can be strong. He goes on in the next couple verses, in verses 11 and 12, and talks about reaching out to other people, delivering those who are drawn to death and so on, which is, it adds another thing that it's ironic when you're saying somebody who's in a pinch and they're feeling their limits, they're feeling their strength being pinched, well, go deliver others. Sometimes when we're weak and we still force ourselves to go do something for someone else, it's really amazing. We realize that we could do some things that we couldn't do otherwise. Now, there are people who act like, oh, if you're just depressed, all you have to do is just get involved serving, and then you won't be depressed anymore. It really doesn't work that way. That's kind of ignorant. But sometimes, at the very least, sometimes it does help. Sometimes it's like, man, I feel better just having been useful for someone else. But at the very least, if I'm like, I'm exhausted, I don't know if I can keep moving, and then I go, but I got this done. I went and helped somebody. I went and encouraged someone when I'm feeling discouraged. The Bible tells us don't say anything unless it's edifying, unless it lifts people up. So anything that we can say by way of encouragement, actually then at least if you're still feeling exhausted, then you can go, well, I could have been exhausted and done nothing, or I was exhausted and I did something. A lot of times that's the way you have to mess with your head to even exercise, when you're like, how can I go exercise? I'm already feeling depleted. Well, you're amazed at what you can do, and sometimes it really helps, but at the very least, you don't just sit there and suffer. And so Solomon would say, it's a normal thing sometimes for you to be depleted. You have limited resources. So don't act like it's weird. Like James says, don't act like you're in some strange circumstance that something's dreadfully wrong when you find yourself going through trials, when you find yourself going through difficulties. That's life. Life hurts. Actually, sometimes it turns out that some of the painful things in life are some of the best things for you in the long run. And, you know, most of us would never grow if God just answered every one of our prayers the way we want him to. We would have a nice, easy life, no problems, no trials, and we would never have a chance to develop character in our lives. And so, you know, Solomon's just letting us know, hey, it's normal when you go through adversity, when you're pinched, to feel pinched. But there's still never a point where there's nothing that you can do. You realize and acknowledge what you have. You receive strength from him. You learn where you need to work a little bit harder to prepare yourself for things like this. And then at the very least, you show, I'm not totally done because I can actually encourage someone else. Now turn over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. You know, and then he goes on in the very next verse to say, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. So when you find yourself in a painful thing, prayer is a good thing to do. Prayer is something that really makes a difference. Now, I think that most of us who are Christians would say, of course we believe in prayer. Of course we do, but what do we actually believe about prayer? Do we believe that if we pray, it will make a difference? We're going through a tough time. Do we believe that if we ask God, that he will change circumstances sometimes to benefit us? Well, James, the brother of Jesus, said that sometimes you have not because you ask not. In other words, God wants to do something for you, but because you don't pray, he doesn't do it. That's kind of sobering to realize, really? I mean, there are times when maybe I'm sick and God wanted to heal me, but he wanted me to ask first. Or, you know, I'm looking for a job, but I haven't really been praying about it. Could that make a difference? According to what the Bible said, it could. I don't totally understand that. I also, you know, a disclaimer, an awful lot of the time when you pray, God doesn't do what you expect him to do. But I always believe he does something in response to our prayers. So often when we're going through tough times, the worst thing is going, where is God while I'm suffering? And God would say, I'm right here, listening to you, waiting for you to pray. The old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, has the line, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I look at our lives and I think, how true that could be. What if an awful lot of our pain is because we haven't even bothered praying? So we need to pray. We need to ask him to do it. He delights to respond to our prayers, but we have to actually pray in order for him to do that. And then as you see in the next verse, in verse 30, about, you know, a good report makes the bones healthy. The thing about prayer is, it's not just about telling God what's wrong. If you look at our prayers so often, look at our requests, it's all about, oh God, this is messed up, and that's messed up, and this is a problem, and that's a problem. When you read the prayers in the Bible, they're not like that at all. Like, you know, so many of us, if we know somebody who's a good person who's in prison, our prayers are all, get them out of prison. That's easy. But Paul was in prison, and he never once said, pray that I will get out of prison. No, he was praying for different kinds of things. And he was like, I'm praying for you people, like the church in Ephesus. He's like, God, let them comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. and thanking God for all the good things that he has done, for the grace that he has given to us. All the prayers in the Bible are that kind of stuff. It's not just a gripe list. It's not just like a, we used to call it a squawk list. When, if you rent an airplane, you know, if you fly the plane and you see anything wrong on it, you write it on the squawk list so that the mechanic can address it. For a lot of us, that's our prayer list. Okay, God, fix this, 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 and this, by the way. And this person's sick, and so could you fix all that for me? When you really pray the way the Bible talks about prayer, when you pray the way that Jesus prayed, when you pray the way that Paul prayed and other people in the Bible prayed, David prayed in the Psalms, there is an element of that, but primarily what they're doing is acknowledging God, praising him, lifting him up. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're actually bringing attention to the good things that are in our lives and thanking God for that, praying always with thanksgiving. And so one of the things about praying, when you do it right, it reminds you of all that God has done. And as you remind him, he reminds you that he's been really good to you. That it's not just, your life is not a product of just the things that you don't like that are happening right now. That you are blessed incredibly by God, and to be called back to that is so important.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We have a little bit of time left, so let's look at one more proverb dealing with tough times.
Now, let's turn over to chapter 22 of Proverbs and verse 10. And Solomon's talking about when you're in contention, you find yourself just banging heads with people and life is frustrating and it's closing in on you. Proverbs 22 verse 10 says, "Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease." You're in strife, you're in reproach, you're in contention. Sometimes it's just a question of cleaning house. In this case, it might mean looking at the people in your life, looking at the people you're associating with and asking yourself, who is it that keeps pulling me under? Who is it that as I continue to deal with them, as I continue to talk with them, I feel like all of my energy is being depleted? I feel that all of my strength is devoted to things that don't help anyone. They just suck the life out of me. And sometimes there are people who you love that you may just have to say, I'm gonna have to keep you at a distance. You don't have to tell them that, you just do it. You're like, make a note. Now, I think for most of us, if I said, who is the one person in your life who sucks the most energy out of you? You probably, someone comes to mind right away. Now, if it's your spouse, let's put that aside and say, who else? Now, the truth is, there are some of you, though, that you're like, I have a lot of people I need to bump from my life. I have so many people who are like that. Well, if that's what you're thinking, then you're actually the problem. It's not the people. Normal people have a couple of relationships that they might dump. But it can't, maybe it's not just people. Maybe it's just stuff. Maybe you need to do a garage sale, get rid of some of your stuff because it's all weighing on you. Or maybe it's the way that you spend your time. Maybe you're loading yourself up with things that burden you and you just have to do some pruning. When you have a tree that gets overgrown, it's just a mess and it's not a good fruit bearer at all. You prune, you cut branches off of a tree to direct it so that it can be healthy and so that it doesn't use all of its moisture to create more leaves. It can create fruit. And we have to do the same thing with our lives. Sometimes we need to prune it.
More help from the Proverbs to help you navigate through the tough times of life on the next Balanced Word with Dave Raw, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my soul.